introduce him in just a minute. As we have not always given all the attention that we needed to the schools and before integration, and so today and even after integration, and so we're hoping to highlight some of those experiences today and try to capture what transpired there, both good and bad. In doing that, I'm going to, in a minute, just turn that over to Betty. And Betty has done a lot of work in the African-American community. Many times when we do a program, and we were doing those programs at Pinewood Park, I would go and ask her for information, and she had notebooks with sheet protectors in them on different individuals in the community. So it was not something she had to do, it was something she had already done. She has been really active in Black History Month. She has been really active in trying to foster and encourage our local history. Betty has been really active in civic affairs and been active with us on the commission. She's helped me one time spoke for on Will Ingram at the East Texas Historical Association. So she's been as active as anyone in helping to preserve our county's history. So now, without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to her capable hand.
I want to thank this Historical Commission for the opportunity and most of all this wonderful panel. And this will not be limited just to the panel and their questions and answers, but we want you to have an active part in this also. I will be giving the history of Dunbar, and this will not be a detailed history. It will just be a rough draft that you might understand where Dunbar fitted into the school system. Just a minute, Lacey's coming. I want him in this panel. Lacey, come up, and the second seat is waiting for you.
Good morning.
Persons come with a very rich background, and they will be introducing themselves in a few minutes, but I want to call to your attention the struggles and the achievement of the Black students from the segregated schools from 1920 to 1968. There were two schools before Dunbar. There was a Celtic school, which was a one-room school, or a two-room school. One of the students of that school is still living. That's Chester Collins, who's 103 years old. Lucky Ward School, that is located on North Chestnut Street, that building is still standing, and there were many students from that time. Chester Collins, James Hackney is still living, 94 years old. Timmy Hackney, 92 years old. Emma Jones is 99. These persons are still living. then Dunbar. Dunbar was in the 1920s, about 1923. It was a new school with six rooms. Melinda Gare, Ostring Johnson, and Ms. Ostring is to be here today, and maybe she will get here. Mrs. Annie Pinson was one of the teachers. C.L. Franklin was one of the teachers, Janie Boone and Sabre D. Stewart, and there may be some others. Professor Brandon was the principal, and he was known as Fess. There were few books, and the books that they did get were old books that had been used by the white students, and they sent those books over. Many of the teachers would slip and teach subjects like geometry and grammar, Latin, Lacey, and I remember those years. they have student assemblies, and then the assembly would be Mr. Carrington is here. What a blessing. Can you bring him down? Mr. Carrington is 96, and one of the students of Dunbar. Aren't we rich in such a rich heritage? Come all the way down, Mr. Carrington. Pick your show up.
Yes, sir. Over there,
so
Mr. Brown sitting in the white shirt.
Okay. This is such a blessing to have him here today. At the Dunbar building with the six classrooms, there was one science room which was located out in the back of the campus. There are several things. Now I'm going to ask, I think he's given you seven, eight questions now, but I'm going to ask five questions of you, and those questions will be the good and bad points about segregation and integration, best things about your years at Dunbar, good points about your teachers that you remember, how are the children suffering today compared to yesterday, the achievements of the students from the segregated schools, how can we improve the life of the school life of students today, the present life, and the future life? And then I will have Mr. Reggie Brown, who's visiting us from Houston today, go up this morning, and it's such an honor to have him here. We're going to open now for a discussion, the good and bad points about segregation and integration. But before we do that, I want you to give your name and just a little bit about yourself. Ms. Burley, we'll start with you.
My name is Willa Mae Burley, and I came to Lufkin in 1960 as a teacher. I was one of the teachers, and my assignment was girls' physical education and health. And then at one time, I taught a history course. Teaching at Dunbar, high school girls, and the high school girls loved Dunbar, and we tried to organize several activities that girls really do like, and that is being a cheerleader. That was the highest, element for girls, making the cheerleading team. We had what we call tryouts. There were so many girls for tryouts, we only were able to select 13. And those 13 girls worked very hard, and at this particular time, the Interscholastic League at Purdue, A&M, had a clinic for cheerleaders, and we carried those 13 girls to Purdue. And the girls participated, and believe it or not, Dunbar girls came out for the first place. I don't know how they did it, but they did. And they were very proud of themselves. But during this time, we didn't have money provided for us. There was no money provided. We depended on the parents. The parents were cooperative, and they wanted the girls. The girls wanted blue shoes. They wanted to have them blue shoes. Whatever they needed, the parents gave it to them, because we didn't have a fund. Like at Lufkin High School, there was a fund for cheerleaders, and that fund would help them get the things that they actually needed. That is, looking good and wearing a lovely uniform. But these 13 girls worked very hard, and we were competing against schools like San Antonio and Austin. Those schools were well equipped, and they had a lot of things to offer. But my girls learned to meet with them, and they were able to succeed. And they came back, and of course, we had pictures all in the paper, the Lucky Day and all, showing their little awards that they won. But But in teaching in Dunbar, we had to make a lot of things that we needed. We had to ask parents to help us get those things that we needed. And it worked out well, because at that time we had a real good motivated parental group. And we need that right now. And it just hurts my heart now to see the young mothers and the young fathers, they're just not with us right now. And we would like to see that again, but whatever we needed, it was given to us. It was money, some hot dogs, peanuts, and so forth, and we were able to get those things. But in 1967, one of the superintendents of the school came up to Dunbar and told us that they would like for me to come to Lufkin High School, and that they were going to ask, I was a second teacher, Mrs. Odessa Sanders was the second teacher to go to Lufkin High School. Miss Sanders was the first teacher, and I was the second teacher to go to Lufkin High School. And it was a brand new day for me going to Lufkin High School. And I said, are we supposed to have all of this? We had everything that we needed. We needed balls, we had balls. We needed uniforms, we had uniforms. And everything that we needed, we had it. And I just couldn't believe it. I just look up sometimes and said, thank you, Lord, for what we need. Because we had so many things that we didn't have at Dunbar. And we improvised at Dunbar. But in the meantime, we had the spirit of the parents and the spirit of the girls made it a beautiful setting for you to work. Because there were a lot of things that we needed at Dunbar, but we didn't get it. But at Lufkin High School, I was just so happy, because when I opened the closet, many balls would fall out. And at Dunbar, we had to look for a ball. Don't have one, I borrowed one from the boys. But it was a lesson to learn, and then it was a lesson of love to learn. Because when you work with girls, girls are wonderful to work with. I don't care what age, they were just wonderful, and they made you happy, and you just bonded together, Dunbar students and also Lufkin High students. We bonded together. And I still love those girls right now. And I see them, and I keep up with them, and they keep up with me. Here recently, I received so many clippings from the paper from some of my students, and I just couldn't believe they were. I said, I don't remember that old lady. I said, my goodness. But it was a joy, a real joy. And it's always a real joy when you have what you need to work with.
I'm going to Lacey, Dr. Chimney. We've known each other since we were 3 years old. He brings a rich part of his life to this table. I'll give your name and your capacity. He served as a teacher, and I think you were the first black male teacher to have been hired at Garrett School. And the principal. You were the first teacher. It was my principal for a number of years, and that was a delight.
Yeah, I'm going to be very brief. It's a girl who came to Boston.
16.
Okay. I came in 1931. I was born. I went to, I was born out of City Hall, and we had a 8th grade two-room school out there. So the height of my ambition was to go to Dunbar. And I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to work in the education system in Lufkin after I finished college and my bachelor's and came back home. And there was something special about Lufkin. I've always loved, there's a lot of things that can be improved. I had a great time at Dunbar, Ben and I were classmates. Dr. Rose was in the
class behind you just a little more. I don't know anything. I never taught at Dr. Arnold. I didn't attend. And I attended located on Meek Street, right where Garrity is now, except the front of it faced Meek Street. And Tim's little home in the back there. And it was the most magnificent experience I ever had.
Tell the story about when you came to Dunbar and they wanted to send you back.
We came from Cedar Grove, and our graduation class out of the eighth grade had 9 people in it. And we came up to Dunbar all excited that September, going to the ninth grade. They called us all in the principal's office and told us that all of us who come from Cedar Grove were going to have to go back to do the eighth grade again. And I said, oh, no, we're not going to do that. They said, well, yes. I said, well, why? They couldn't give me a good reason, so they told us to sit down over there, and they were enrolling everybody else. And so we sat down for a minute, and when they weren't looking, we slipped out. And our principal, I could see him go live the next door to Dunbar. And we left and took our lunches and went and sat on her porch all day long, waiting for her to come home in the evening. And Mr. Franklin, who hired me, and he may have hired Otis, coached Otis and everything, finally found out where we were, and he came over and said, you kids come on back to school, and I said, you just go to the eighth grade for the rest of the day, and we'll straighten this out tomorrow. And I don't know what gave us the fortitude not to go back. We told Mr. Franklin we were going to wait for Ms. Colton's office to come. And she finally got home that evening, and we told her, we've been sitting there all day long. And she finally got home that evening, and we told her what the problem was. And Redland was an independent school district then. So she went out to Redland, and the next day, the superintendent from Redland came up town, and I don't know what they did, but they straightened out and took us in the ninth grade. They didn't think we were prepared enough to go to the ninth grade. And everybody that was, that would see us sitting over there, we did look kind of forlorn, wouldn't we? So, with those overalls on and those Rogans.
Yeah.
But we did look kind of forlorn. But they finally let us go into the ninth grade the next day. When we came back to school the next day, we had an understanding we would not go to the school. We'd still go back to the principal's house until she came and got us. So about 9:30, 10 o'clock, she came over and got us. And all the other kids were looking at us strange, you know, all this little ragtag groups sitting out there. But we did all right, and we graduated with that class. But that was my first demonstration.
As a principal, did you use books from the white schools, or were you exposed?
We were lucky to get them.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yes, we did. And we had a very active PTA, and we bought a lot of supplemental stuff. We had the first male PTA president in town, Whit Brown, who went on and had a marvelous family, had some kids who were great athletes, and they had fundraisers all the time, and Miss Rose was in that building, and she was one of the staff members, and we had fundraisers all the time, and we supplemented, and I've always said this about minority teachers, black teachers. They never objected to giving up of their money to buy things that they thought would help kids. And they've always been notorious for that. And so as a result, we actually bought some new textbooks from our own money. We ordered them from the company. And Mr. Anderson told me, as long as they're the same ones we use, I guess I'll go along with that.
I hope you're listening and we'll come up with some good questions in just a minute. Dr. Rhodes, I've known you most of your life too then, but he has served as teacher, principal, and then a professor at SFA, so it comes with a rich background. Dr. Rhodes.
Well, I come from a little country town, kind of like Lace is. I came from Buenos Aires, Texas, in West Nacogdoches County. My family moved to Lufkin in 1945. I believe I was about 12 years of age. I was in eighth grade. My little country town was about Lake Cedar Grove because we looked forward to
day that we finished eighth grade in Windows Hill, because then we were transferred to Nacogdoches E.J. Campbell, the school downtown. But before I got an opportunity to go to E.J. Campbell, my family moved to London, so I went to Dunbar. And I heard quite a bit about Dunbar. And I'm just going to give a brief background as to my travels. I finished Dunbar in 1950 and went to Wiley Falls, then finished that in 54. Then I went to service immediately after finishing Wiley. Spent 2 years in service, 18 months in Korea. Came back and spent first year back looking for a job. Nobody would hire me. I got my first teaching job in a little town called Wasco. They were looking for a person that could perform about six different tasks. They had to teach physical education, coach football, basketball, track, baseball, drive the bus, clean the gym, teach English, language arts, you name it. And they said, you come closer to what we need than any, and plus you have to drive school bus. And I taught there for 2 years and then came back and taught in Lufkin for 4 years and became assistant principal at Dunbar in the fall of, I think, 1967. Then when Mr. Franklin, the principal of Gary, died suddenly over the Christmas holidays, they assigned me as principal at Gary School, where I served for 4 years until I was sent, called, begged to leave to Stephen F. Austin. I spent 24 and a half years there. Came back to Lufkin, well, stayed in Lufkin all that time. But I did serve in the school board here in Lufkin for 9 years, the president of the Planning and Development Commission, City of Lufkin. And that's it.
We're coming from the African American heritage, and if one was taught to read, will you teach me to read, sir? And if you taught me to read, he would get a beating for teaching me to read. I would get a beating for learning to read, even possibly deaf. So I hope you would recognize the struggles of the black school in Angelina County. And Lacey, I apologize for not including the school at Cedar Grove. What was it called?
It was T.J. Rosenwald. The black school was called T.J. Rosenwald. It was built one. Remember, many years ago, there was an old Rosenwald Foundation that used to go around building schools for black kids. And Rosenwald Foundation was housed in Chicago, and this was a T.J. Rosenwald school. It's a Redland Independent School
District. That's correct.
But our school was a T.J. Rosenwald Foundation school, and we had a great big picture in two rooms, two whole rooms. Had a great big picture of Mr. Rosenwald on the wall in each room. It always looked like wherever you go, it's going to catch you. And we were reminded of this great sacrifice to put this building out there for us. And we ought to appreciate it and try to do the best we could. But that's what it was. Not many people have ever asked that question. T.J. Rosenwald Foundation.
Well, I appreciate the knowledge because I wasn't aware of that. We have now Mr. I.D. Henderson, and we attended the same church together as children, and he brings to the table a very rich background, Mr. I.D. Henderson.
I'm I.D. Henderson now. My home's out north here, Kelsey. I was born and raised out there. I went to Dunbar. In and out of Dunbar. I didn't finish in Dunbar. I might call it a dropout. I used to like to go to Dunbar because I always go to Dunbar when the school was first open. I like to smell the new clothes and lunches we're going to be carrying out there. And I was really smelling getting into some of those paper sacks bring to the school. At that time, you know, we had a little deal where we sprayed. All the kids get together, so we spread our lunches out on the pad out there. So I had a chance to get some good food out there. I didn't have too much. I had to serve bread, so. Mm-hmm. So they always run me over. I'm honored to be amongst these alumni at Dunbar. I know a lot of them. I know most, all of them. It's all for me to be at the panel with them. I was in and out of Dunbar, like I said, and my time was spent right up down the road, working at the golf course and doing a little hand-out jobs at the sawmill. And down through the years, I wind up in the military. And that's where I got most of my, I got all of my education in the military. When I first left here, I was proficient in the reading and writing, arithmetic type thing to see. Well, I regret that the day I didn't pursue that and graduate from Dunbar. I went on to retire from the military. And after I retired from the military, I come back home here and had an opportunity to run for a commissioner job here, which was come open. I had 30 days to prepare to run. After 11, turned it down. I turned it down about 4 or 5 times before I even made my mouth to run. Then I was instrumental in spending 20 years in that job. So now I'm retired. And, not active in anything right now. Kind of some personal things just going on. I'm not able to continue this career.
You mentioned you organized the Black Commissioners.
When I took over commissioner job here in Angelina County, there wasn't too many commissioners in the state of Texas of color. So I saw a need at that time to take the 1 or 2 commissioners that we did have and organize ourselves into some type of coalition so we could have some type of clout. Because out of 254 counties in Texas, we were not represented like I thought we should have been. I was able to organize those men. We was began to move this thing done throughout Texas with these commissioners. I have pictures of them, the first commissioners that we organized this time. Stan Knight is still in force now.
Very good. Next we have Mr. Ellis Carrington Sr. Mr. Carrington is one of the students at Dunbar, an outstanding student. Mr. Carrington.
I'm Ellis Carrington. I came to Dunbar in 1922. I had the term of Lucky War. Being Lucky War, Dunbar. My favorite teacher ever in the same century. I played in 8th grade for most of the night, and I married at early age.
Respectful, but not saying yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am. He asked you a question, you ask him a question, he would ask you yes or no. He said, recognize you as Mr. and Mrs. But yet they wouldn't let me go to school for about 6 months. But that's all things in the past. But my favorite teacher was Ms. Stewart and Ms. Garrett. They're very strict, and they helped me a lot. And they just have a lot of good memories about love. I have a lot of bad memories about love. And still my home, I love my home. I love the community, I love the people here. But I can see love still needs to come in a lot of areas. And I'm not saying that to be slightly or disrespectful. Everybody pulled together. I live in California. I live in California. And I have a family and I, all doing well. I have a son and a family who goes all over the country. I have a daughter that has her own business. And I have two nurses in my family. I attribute that a lot to my education that I received, which was minimum. Like my father, I pursued and gave my kids the best education I could provide for them, also my wife, which I love to school. Lufkin is a wonderful community, kind of is good, but need some armament to try to improve, spread out, progress, just new businesses and things in this community. I see a lot of changes being made in a lot of directions. But I see it being wasteful as well. If you're going to want new businesses in, if you're going to rebuild, you need to have your planning commission to spread out. You need to tear down and move back to widen the streets. The streets are dangerous. The highways are dangerous. State. You have no sidewalks, no outlets off the side. You go off the highway, you're off the highway, you're into a ditch, into a creek. No space to fall off the road. Very unsafe. Anyway, I don't want to get into politics, that kind of stuff, but it's great to be here. I'm here visiting now, but had some outlasting memories of encountering and different on the racial issue, but it's all been educational for me. It kept me through life a lot.
I didn't understand. He said 1951 being the last class of Dunbar.
Were you the last bar?
That was the last class to graduate from the old Dunbar.
Old Dunbar. Okay.
I want to get that cleared up.
That was before they went under the heat.
Right.
Yes. Before they went to the newest
building. Right. Get that cleared up.
That's the
building. It is on Lee Street. The last class to graduate out of the Lee Street.
Yes. And this is a picture of it here. I have a display here. This is a picture of the school on Lee Street. And that building does not stand anymore. Ellis Carrington Jr. Ellis was O'Dean's classmate.
No, he's
3 years
older than I am.
Oh, he's older. I am so sorry. That's right, you're older than I am too. So. We are honored to have you here to share some of your experiences with us.
My experience is with Dunbar and Lufkin. Very confident. I enjoyed being in Lufkin. I was raised over on the Walker Quarters, which a lot of people don't recall. I was on the railroad tracks. I had some good friends over there, I met those gentlemen over there. We were very close in high school. R.D. Henderson and I, we've been in the military together. Basically, Jimmy was after the next class after I graduated in 1940, after he graduated in 49, and I gave him the key. I was the president of the 1940 class, and I gave him the key to a Dunbar at that time. But Dean Rose, I remember when he came out, but he was always up down in the river trying to walk through the streets. We always had a good time down there. Dunbar, we could walk that walk through the mud and rain, snow, whatever came up, we had to walk the street. But he and George, we played going to school, we played coming back to school. It was just a terrible thing. A lot of things to be, didn't have in school, like my brother was saying, we didn't have to have books that would use some of the pages were torn out of the books. It was ridiculous after you, when you look at it at this day and age, a lot of things and what we had to go through. The football, you know, I played football, I did football, I'm not like all of us, I think we played football. They got hammered down and things like that, they were ragged, they were too big for a lot of stuff. Most of us were small in stature. The team before us was huge, 200 pounds or better. But most of us, I think our favorite player at the time when we played was around about 167 pounds, and that was Eli Sewell, which we call him Blue. And I think Tony Hughes was the next largest player that we had at that time. We had some great coaches, Franklin, of course, Willie Smith, who carried us up through an undefeated season in 1945. We only had one team to score on us, the team played with Star Falls, I think they beat us 12-0. But as those times went on, we left and went to the military. I came back and I stayed here and I got married. And I left and went to California in 1957. I stayed there 3 years ago. And I regret not going to college like my husband did and have an opportunity, but I did do a lot of seminars and I got to be president of the California State Employees Association, the union that we had that governed our state employees. And I really enjoyed doing that. Lufkin, I came back here, I see a lot of improvement in some of the things just haven't come up to date. They still bragging if people are back in our area over there in North Lufkin. The streets are so narrow, it's hard to pass by. If you pass, try to pass each other on the street, you're subject to go into a ditch. The highway is the same way. I saw an accident coming back here a couple of weeks ago near Jacksonville, where they tried to cut another car off, and when they pulled off, they tried to cut back on the highway, the truck car just flipped over. You know, those people was hurt. It's tragic to see the way the highways are done in this area here, in East Texas, especially. You get over there in North Lufkin and some of the other towns, like you got sidewalks maybe on one side of the street, you don't have any on the other street. Some streets don't have even sidewalks. You got streets that dangerous, very dangerous, because there are ditches there. Mosquitoes get in those areas. I see them talking about spraying or to stop the West Nile disease. But those streets are dirty. The ditches have a lot of water in them. The streets are mosquitoes. And I think as a whole, we all need to work together and strive to make Lufkin a better place. But Lufkin I dreamed of Lufkin being like a metropolitan city years ago. And I come back here and I see it's progress, but it's slowly. And it's time for Lufkin to move up and get into the 21st
century. I want you to name one thing that you thought was the best thing about segregation.
One thing about segregation. We had super teachers, and the teachers were close to each student, mm-hmm. the new parents, the new family, the new history. And whatever textbook you had, you learned. If you didn't learn, the hickory stick was next.
Okay, that's good. Lacey.
So we learned to the tooth and the hickory stick.
Okay, excuse me, I'm trying to give Mr. Brown the
There was a certain universality about our being together as a group, and there was more comradeship, more affinity. We was healthy for that reason.
Dr. Rowe.
Blacks had more opportunity to be in leadership role in the segregated area. Principals, superintendents, head coaches, those kinds.
Thank you.
It was a lot closeness at that time. Everybody knew each other. More or less, everybody was kin. We act like just kin people sometimes. So every opportunity, therefore, we knew everybody knew each other. Which a lot of times could affect the good and bad. Created, in some cases, created a lot of jealousy. It's true.
Mr. Perrin, one thing about the segregated school that you came to, one thing, one point. It's a great point.
One thing is good about getting in here.
Being in the segregated school that you came to. Did you remember?
Yeah. I had a teacher who knew it good.
Okay, Charles, one thing.
I don't think I can give you one thing.
Okay, Ellen.
I would
think about it. I'll come back to you. Ellen's one thing that in the segregated school.
One thing that I enjoyed was, it's like you were saying, the camaraderie that we had in school. All of us, we knew everybody ended up in that time. Let's go down to this name. This Garrett was a very, very sick teacher, and I just loved her. She would take you, if you did something wrong, she would take you and grab your number, come around, and pull you up and pass tight behind.
Would you like for Dunbar to be black today is a question. Anyone want to answer that?
I'll answer. No.
Okay, there's your answer. That's pretty good, isn't it? Okay. The dress code. Teachers could not wear pants. I remember that. And the dresses had to be below the knees. I remember those kinds of things.
But the knees are length.
Yes, it was almost to the ankles. I remember as a teacher, I sweated one evening when we first got those report books. Someone pointed out that the principal would keep your check until you got your report finished. Isn't that something? When we integrated, there were many of the male factors, the male teachers who lost their jobs because of integration. I have Cecil Malone, L.D. Taylor, Curtis, Mr. Curtis, Scipio. These are some names given to me. I don't remember Roy Washington, Huey Allen, but they did merge the men. But the women teachers were merged in and held jobs. Very good. You've done an excellent job, and I appreciate that. But I want now for Mr. Reggie Brown to come and tell us some of the things that he's doing. I want you to mention the PVUIL, and because somebody's lazy. Your hand up.
No.
Oh, I thought you wanted to say something. But I want him to share the things that he's doing. He drove all the way up from Houston this morning to be here with us.
It's kind of ironic how life built in a big circle.
You may come here if you want.
I was talking to Mr. Hickey, and I told him what my name was. And he kind of stepped back and looked at almost like the bridge around Ireland. When he ran for county commissioner, my dad got elected county commissioner at the same time over in Howard State. A couple of the first black county commissioners in the state of Texas. My mom and dad were both educators in the Palestine schools, and out of it, I went to a segregated school. And we did a lot of good learning. One of my teachers was Miss Hurley in Palestine. And to go full circle, why am I here? What fun did you get up there, did you see baseball game?
Okay.
Why?
My home.
Okay. You just like it for the state. Okay? You like it for the state. Okay, I've got a UT jersey. But a lot of times when I go make presentations, I help suit and tie them. And first thing people see, say, man, you must be a Vince Young fan. And no, I'm not. I am a TJ Ford fan. UT basketball. I mentor him. He's in the NBA now, making big bucks. And we're taking those big bucks and putting them back into things that kids can remember. Now, you all are a historical commission here in Angelina County. I'm on the historical commission. We call it the Baytown Historical Commission, Baytown, Texas. I work for ExxonMobil, the largest refinery in America. Okay? We started off in 76 with $25. Now in our budget we have $2.5 million for our historical commission. T.J. Ford Foundation. When players get drafted into the NBA, the first 10 have guaranteed contracts.